That are here this morning trying to impede our worship. Every spirit bringing weariness and moodiness, dampening the spirit of your saints. Today we bind them and we send them packing from this atmosphere. Father Lord, today we pray that there will be a release in the heavenlies, that our souls will be fed. Father, we ask today that as we open your words, that you will open our eyes. Feed us with manna from above. Amen. Father Lord, there is someone here today that stands in the need of this message. Father Lord, touch such a heart. Lift our spirit. Give us reasons to go on. Blessed be your name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You remember that we started out some weeks back looking at the miracles that Jesus did in the book of John. So today I want to continue on our expounding of these miracles. And so the third miracle is what we are looking at today. Who can remind me of the two miracles we've looked at already? The first one, the turning of the water to wine at Cana of Galilee. And the second one, I need to send you back to go and study John. John chapter 4, the second one, Jesus and the centurion or the nobleman's son. You remember the nobleman that came to Jesus and asked for healing for his son. And now we're looking at the third miracle in the book of John, and this is found in John chapter 5, and I want to share with us from verse 1 to verse 9. John chapter 5, 1 to 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version. After these there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Title of our message for this service is Troubling the Water. Troubling the Water. Now, it was the late great Irish-born British playwright and critic, George Bernard Shaw, that once said that a miracle is an event which creates faith. That is the purpose and that is the nature of miracles. Frauds deceive, but an event which creates faith does not deceive. Therefore, it is not a fraud, but a miracle. And saints of God, I want you to know that every Saturday as we gather for worship, we are all here because we need a miracle. Or perhaps I should start out by asking today, is there anyone here who has got it all and you have no need in your life? I want you to know that for every need to be met, you need a miracle. And so as we've all come together, we have come because we stand in the need of a miracle. And if you begin to look at verse 1, you'll see that John describes Jesus going to Jerusalem for another one of the many of the Jewish feasts. And as William Barclay, says that John always shows Jesus attending the feast, because he, Jesus, did not disregard the obligations of Jewish worship. I want you to know that Jesus made it a point of duty to attend all the Jewish feasts in the calendar. And this says a bit to us. But sometimes we feel that because of what we are going through, we ought to absent ourselves from meeting with the people of God. But John says that Jesus was always going to the feasts. Some of us, we are becoming so holy that we even think that it is a sin to attend a party. When one is thrown by a friend for a good cause. The Bible says that Jesus was always going for the Jewish feasts. And in verse 2, John tells us about the pool of Bethesda, a pool whose existence was questioned for many years, by many influential and so-called Bible scholars. And that was until a construction project near the Church of St. Anne in 1888 actually uncovered traces of a pool with 5 colonnades exactly where John said it was. And archaeology confirms that indeed those colonnades were there and the pool was real. And it was there at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus encountered the man. As verse 5 says, a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. I want to ask you today, how long is the situation that you are going on in? How long has it been on? Many of us, we find ourselves in a situation for a week and we are already complaining. For some of us, we can't even stand to go through a situation for one day. You already start calling your friends, telling them about what you are going through, and it's not even yet a day. But the Bible says that this man has been in a situation for 38 years. Some of us are not even 38 yet. Today, I want to share some points with you from this story. If you start to look from verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus saw a great multitude of sick people. And I want to ask you, are you here today and you are sick? Is there any sick person who is here today? And before you start to look at yourself and look at others, I just want to take a minute to encourage you with the word of God. Because I fully believe that that which happened and that which was true at the time of Jesus beside the pool of Bethesda is also true here at Blessed Hope today. And I want to say to anyone who is here today and you are sick or you are hurting or you have some emotional struggles, I want you to know that you are not alone, my friend. And it is not just you that is going through what you are going through. I want you to know that there's a great number of hurting people all around you today. And friends, please do me a favor. Look around you. Look at those people sitting around you. I want you to know that as you look at these faces, a great many of us are disabled in one way or the other. As you look around you today, you will see hurting people. Even though we don't look like that on the surface, but many of us are really hurting deep inside. All around you today are sick people, or worried people, burdened people. Oh, there are those who are tempted, you know, and there are poor people all around us. I want you to know that the faces you have just seen this morning, are people who don't have it all together. People with scars, people with a past, people that are still dealing with how to get over their feelings in past years. People that have wounds that are so deep, and some of them are so incredibly fresh and sore that it only takes a wound, or it only takes a word to open up their wounds. And that is why when you come to church, so many times it only takes a statement to a brother or a sister, and they will let off the steam and take it out on you. Only to know that it is not you they are attacking, it is because of the baggages they are bringing from their past. You are just an outlet. And verse 3 tells us that Jesus saw a great multitude of sick people waiting by the pool for the moving of the water. My friends, I want you to know that when Jesus got to the pool that day, there were people that were waiting for the moving of the water. And as we sit down today in our Sabbath clothes, I want you to also believe with me, church, that we are all sitting by our pools. And we are all waiting for the moving of the water. You know, some of us, we have become specialized watchers. Watching out for when the angel will stir the water, when the Savior is standing right before us. And we are sitting by our pools. You know, some of us, we have made our friends our pools. And every time any small thing happens to us, we are crying and looking for a shoulder to lean on. Our friends have become our pools. For some of us, I want you to know that our families have become our pools. And any time that something goes wrong at work, when you get home, you take it out on every member of the family because they are you see them like your pool. You are waiting by your pool. Many times things happen in your life and you expect that it is those that are close to you that should solve the situation for you. Hello, my friend. Some of us, my friends, we have made our jobs our pool. And we think that the blessings of God in our lives is equated by the number of hours that we work. I'm making a mistake, my friend. I want you to know the Bible says that it is only the blessing of God that brings some of us. We have even made the church our pool. Hello, someone. We think that the moment we come in, everything should be hunky-dory. The church should be able to meet every need, solve every problem, be there when we need. I want you to know that you cannot make anything or anyone your pool. Stop sitting by the pool. What you need, my friend, is not the moving of the water in your pool. It is the appearance of the Savior on the scene. Amen. Jesus saw these people, they were sitting by their pool, waiting for the moving of the water. And my friend, I want you to know that all of us are here today because in one way or the other, we need a touch from God. We need the water to be stirred up for our sake. And you know, my friend, even though we appear all well dressed up, looking good on the outside, but we all have a problem. And I say with no apologies that everyone's got a problem. that needs fixing. Yes, we have all come to sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." All of us have come here today to sing, "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary." And it doesn't matter, my friend, how cool you look on the outside. The truth is that we all have problems. For some of us, it might be poor health. Others, it might be polluted thoughts. For some, it might be worldly pleasure. For some people, it is ill health or sickness. For some, our problems are, you know, things like pride, or poverty, or perversion, or pornography, or prejudice, or permissiveness, or joblessness, or faithlessness. But we all have a problem. For some here today, your problem is hypocrisy. For some, it is greed. Never been satisfied. Even when we had little back from where we came from, we were more happy and we were more thankful. Some of us have marital issues. Some are looking for spouses. Others have problems with their children. But we all have a problem, my friend. And if you're here today and you don't know your problem, then you've got a bigger problem. But we're all here for the troubling of the water. And today, my friend, you know, verse 4 says that, "For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain time and stirred up the water." But I want you to know, my friend, that there is nothing in biblical history that tells us that an angel actually comes down to stir up the water. But it has all been by hearsay. In fact, some Bible scholars say that verse 4 was put in the book of John. It was not in the original manuscript. Verse 4 was added so that there will be a reason for their congregating and waiting at the pool. No one ever saw the angel coming down. In fact, we dare think that no one ever saw someone coming up from the water that was healed. But they kept gathering there. Year after year, they were gathering there, waiting for the water to be stirred up. Oh, but today I bring good news for someone, because today there is a God that comes to you every time that you call upon his name. Oh, you didn't hear me, church. There is a God that comes to you with or without the waters being stirred. I'm talking about a God that comes at every time, not at certain times. So you see, my friend, it doesn't matter if your problem happens on a Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or even the Sabbath. I'm talking about a God that shows up whenever you need him. It does not matter what season it is in your life, whether it is winter or whether it is summer or whether it is springtime or autumn. I'm talking about a God that comes through whenever you need him. I'm talking about a God that appears not by the time of the day. It does not matter whether it is morning or afternoon or evening time. This God appears whenever you call upon his name. Right. And verse 4 says that then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. My friend, I want you to see that even if the miracle was happening, then you will notice from the book of John that the miracle was just for the fastest and the best. Did you see that, my friends? Did you see in the story that it is the person that had the least problem that will get the blessing? The person that is least deformed or least defiled is the one that will get the singular miracle, the fastest and the best. I wonder if there's someone here today like that man that Jesus met at the well, at the pool. That man that Jesus met. I wonder if there's someone in the house today that is saying that despite all my efforts, someone seems to always be getting ahead of me into the pool. Someone seems to be getting that promotion that I have my eyes on. Someone always seems to be ahead of me. Someone seems to speak better than me. Someone seems to be putting up, you know, as an advantage over me. I wonder if there's someone that is saying that I'm being relegated because of my background or my accent or my race. Someone seems to be stepping ahead of me by the pool. But today I want you to know that there is a God whose strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. There's a God that does not deal or give miracles to just the fastest and the best. There is a God that you can count, that you can call on, that you can count on. There's a God that comes to whoever will call upon his name.
Amen.
Not just for the fastest and the best. And let's look at verse 5 now. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. My friend, let's do a simple arithmetic here. Let me ask you, how old was Jesus when this miracle took place? What's the maximum age that Jesus could have been, you know, when this miracle took place? 32? 33 at most? But the Bible says that this man had his infirmity 38 years. This means that this man's problem was older than Jesus himself. Did you see that? This man was already in his problem way before Jesus was born as a baby. Now I wonder if there's someone here today that your problems or the issues in your life predate the time you gave your life to Jesus. Perhaps you're here and your problem seems to be beyond you, and it goes way back to the time of your grandparents. Maybe you have a generational issue. Maybe there's a sickness or a health condition that runs in your family. Maybe there is a particular issue you've been struggling with, and the time has been so long that you can't even remember the genesis of the problem. And have you been waiting with eager expectation like this man? Are you almost giving up? When you look at this man in his condition for 38 years, imagine if this man was a Nigerian. For many of us that watch home movies, if this man were a Nigerian, he would have gone to every celestial churches in the area. He would have visited all the Aladras that he knows. This man, they would have suggested to him, why not visit the Afars? This man would have gone to every herbalist in the area. He would have tried everything, but the Bible says that his problem persisted. And at the time Jesus met him at the pool, he was already 38 years in his problem. Now let me ask you, my friend, if a problem goes on for 10, 20 years, what do you think the neighbors will be saying? You are going to live with this until you die. Things can never change. You will never get a miracle. You can't be healed. But I want you to know that the story of this man tells us, my friend, that you can never give up in your situation. The story of this man tells us and brings to mind that what the Bible says, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
My friends, I don't know how long you've been going on in your situation, but I've brought good news that if it is not up to 38 years, you can't afford to give up yet. Today, I want you to know that your problem has met with a solution.
Amen.
Today, because I believe in my mind that the waters are going to be troubled for your sake. The Bible says that, "And whosoever the Son of Man shall set free, he shall be free indeed."
Amen.
So you see, my friend, it doesn't matter what used to be in your life. Today, your story is about to change.
Amen.
And verse 6 says that Jesus saw him lying there. Jesus saw this man lying there. And my friend, I want you to know that at that day at the pool of Bethesda, although there lay beside the pool, what the Bible says earlier, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. This man being one of those that were at the pool. Or even though this man was surrounded by so many other invalids, the Bible says that despite this great crowd, Jesus saw him lying there. I want you to know that the Bible did not say Jesus saw death. lying there. The Bible says Jesus saw him lying there. My friend, you mustn't miss this point. Jesus saw this man lying there, not the rest of the invalids. Jesus saw this man, and this is great news, my friend. I want you to know that Jesus sees you in your situation.
Amen.
Even though others have problems and they have issues and they have situations, but Jesus can see you.
Amen.
He's not oblivious to your pain. He can see where you're hurting. He can see where things are not the way they ought to be. Jesus understands the problems you are going through. He sees you, my friend. And just as he saw this man and knew whether true human or divine means that he had been there for a long time, he also knows just how long, how much, how deeply you're hurting or you're sick or you have your pain. Jesus knows exactly what you are going through today. He knows the challenges that are in your life. Jesus knows what you are having to deal with on a daily basis. He knows the problem at your office that you can't tell us in church. Jesus knows the problem that is at home that you cannot tell the pastor. Jesus knows the problem in your finances. He knows the problem in your physical body that you can't share with anyone else except your GP. Jesus sees you in your situation. He sees how you're struggling. Jesus saw him lying there. Very important line in this story, my friend. And if you're here today and you miss anything else, please underline it in your Bible. Jesus sees this man. Jesus knows that the way he's hurting is very real. His problems are very real. Jesus understands what the man was going through. But perhaps you're here and today you're asking, Pastor, what about those other people that were at the pool? The Bible says that there was a great number of them. Did Jesus pass them by? And my friend, I had no idea. Maybe he did and maybe he didn't. Maybe he healed others too, that their stories were not recorded in the book. Because John himself, 15 chapters later on in the book, tells us that there were so many other miraculous signs that Jesus did that were not recorded. But then church, maybe again, maybe he did pass them by that day. What I want you to know, my friend, is that this man in the story at the pool on that day is me. Please point your hands to me. That man is me. The one that Jesus saw, you know, is me. The one that he noticed is me. The one whose prayer was answered is me. The one whose voice he heard is me. I am the one that Jesus saw. And for a moment, you can afford to be selfish. There was a great multitude, but Jesus sees this man lying there. And I am that man. And I don't know for how long you have prayed about the situation you are going through. I don't know how many times you have come out for altar calls. I don't know how many times you have shared your problems in a prayer meeting. I don't know how many of the brethren has prayed with you over this situation. But I want you to know that this man kept going to the pool day in, day out. And that same morning when he woke up, I want you to know that in the mind of this man, it was just another ordinary day. Did you get it, church?
Yeah.
Just another ordinary day, just like yesterday. The man was there the day before. He waited till evening until they came and carried him home. But that same day, the man did not say, because I waited yesterday and did not get healing, I will not go today. The man still went back there and waited that day. But you see, my friend, this day that was recorded in chapter 5 was different from yesterday. He had waited before. He had longed before. Nothing had happened, but on this day, the day that the man, you imagine with your spiritual, in your minds, my friend, imagine if the man had woke up that day and says, I'm not going out there today because it is just another day. Ah. May you not be sleeping at home when your miracle is outside.
Yes.
This man turned up that day, not knowing that that was the day of his redemption, not knowing that that was to be the most important day of his 38 long sojourn. He turned up. May you turn up when your name is being called. Amen. When they are looking for you, may you be there.
Amen.
This man turned up. But then as we go on in the story, you are surprised because the Bible says that Jesus saw him lying down. And what was the question that Jesus asked him? Do you want to get well? Now put yourself in this man's shoe. If Jesus had come there and asked you that question, what would have been your answer? Thank you, Brother. What would be your answer? Jesus says to you, 38 years in the problem, waiting at the pool, and he comes and he says, do you want to get well? If it were me, I would say, are you blind? What do you think I'm doing here? Do you want to get well? After 38 years, come on. But I want you to know that the question that Jesus asked him was not a stupid question. Do you want to get well? Well, there are two meanings that we can give to this question. Do you want to get well means two things. It means, first of all, Jesus is saying to the man, do you want to admit your heart and your situation? Do you realize, my friends, that if Jesus were to come to some of us asking that question in church today, your answer would probably be like, don't bother with me, this brother here that has a problem. Go to him. He needs a miracle. I don't. Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? Do you want to admit that you have a problem? Do you know that many of us, because of our pride, even when altar calls are made, we sit in our pews because we don't want to identify with those that seem to have a problem. So when they are walking out, you just sit down there and you are cool. And you are suffering and cool. Do you want to get well? Means, do you want to admit that there is something I can do in your life? The second meaning, do you want to get well? Jesus was in essence saying to this man that, do you want to choose healing over your heart? Do you want to choose healing over your pain? Do you want to make a choice to receive a miracle? You know, a Bible scholar says that an Eastern beggar will lose a means of livelihood if he chooses to be healed. So you can imagine this man, all he's been doing perhaps for like 38 years is beg for alms. So imagine the day that Jesus healed him, the next day this man will be jobless. So when Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Jesus was in essence saying to him, do you want to lose your livelihood and choosing instead to be healed? And there are many of us in church today that we prefer to be in our situation than to receive a miracle for so many reasons. Some of us, because of the sympathy that people give us. We love it when people just say, oh, bele, eya. You know, we love it. We love the attention. And Jesus is saying, would you rather be healed than have their sympathy? Many of us would rather remain in our situation because we have become accustomed to that way of life. We have accepted the problem. It has become part and parcel of our lives. I want you to know, my friend, that many Christians today are living with things that God had not ordained for their life simply because they have accepted it. So you meet some Christian, when something happens and you say, let's pray this there. Don't worry, it's not the problem. You know, it's just the way life is. Jesus asked, do you want to be made well? So you see, in essence, Jesus was saying to this man that the way you receive is in your hands. And I want you to know that you can sit in front of your television for 38 years, just like this man, and watch Benny Hinn perform all those miracles and nothing will happen to you. Because in your mind, you are thinking it's a fake. Or you are thinking things like that don't happen. Or you are thinking they are the one that have a problem. I don't. Jesus is asking, do you want to be made well? Will you choose to be healed? Will you accept that I can do it? And I want you to also note something in this story, my friend. Or maybe I should ask you, do you think that when Jesus was talking to this man, do you think this man knew who Jesus was? Did he know? He didn't know. So when Jesus was speaking to this man, I'm sure that the first thing that would come to his mind was that this is another person that wants to give him some money. So when Jesus asks, do you want to be made well? This man is perhaps thinking, please do what you have to do and go so that another person can come. Not knowing that he was lying there in the very presence of the one that can meet him at the point of his needs. And friends, today I want you to know that Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is asking you, do you want to be made well? Do you want to accept my healing? Do you believe in a miracle? Do you believe I can do it for you? I've done it for others, but do you believe I can do it for you? You know, when Sister Remy shared the testimony of how she got almost like £1,000 back on just one trip, many of us, we are perhaps thinking, oh, God is great. He has done it for Sister Remy, but not actually saying, if he can do it for Sister Remy, he can do it for me. Jesus is saying, do you want to personalize my miracle? Do you believe? And look at verse 7. What was this man's response? The man replied and said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else always goes down before me. My friend, what was the question and what was the answer? Do you want to get well? And this man started his story. It's like asking, what's your name? And he's asking, when I used to be in Chicago. You know, what is your name? Do you want to get well? This man started a story. I have no friends to put me in. When I want to get in, someone seems to be getting there. As a matter of fact, if you look and if you analyze the statement of this man, you will see that this man is saying that I'm not only an invalid, but I also have no friends. No one to put me in the pool. This man is saying, I'm not just an invalid, but I'm flailing. He says, every time I try to get in, and I try to struggle and flail, someone gets there before me. This man is saying that I'm not only an invalid, but I am also frustrated because someone is always ahead of me. And that is why many times when you call for a program or you speak to people in church and you ask a simple question, you will get a paragraph. Because they are not thinking about what you are asking them. They are thinking about their situation. But Jesus' question was, do you want to get well? Please turn to someone close to you and ask that question for me. Do you want to get well? And my friend, it is what happens now in verse 8 and verse 9 that catches my attention. Verse 8 says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Three instructions in one sentence. And I want you to see that there is a sequence to what Jesus says to this man. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. This is a man that has not walked in the last 38 years. Jesus says, get up. You know, when I read the word of God, I like to use my imagination. Do you realize that for 38 years, this man has been leaning on a crutch? He has been going by being supported. But Jesus says to him, get up. My friends, many of us in church, we are suffering because we are refusing to get up. We are so used to our crutches. Jesus says, get up from that situation. No wonder Isaiah and Aaron says, rise up from the dust, O you daughters of Zion. You have suffered enough. It is time to get up. Say to your neighbor, please get up. I don't know what it is that is keeping you on the ground, but every child of God, I'm saying to you today, it is time to get up. Jesus says, pick up your mat. That thing that you've been sitting on for 38 years, that is making you, that is immobilizing you, that is causing you to remain in one spot. Jesus says, pack it up. That thing that you've been trying for 38 years, that has not yielded any positive thing, Jesus says, pack it up. That thing that you become accustomed to, that is almost becoming to smell like you smell, Jesus says it is time to pack it up. So get up, pack up your past, pick up your failures, put together those things that have bound you to that spot, Jesus says, and walk. Walk. I want you to know that many Christians are living like pagans because we refuse to get up and pack our past and begin to walk. My friends, don't wait until you see the manifestation. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't think that because he's not shown me that he can do it yet, I will wait for that time. I want you to know that there are times you need to start walking before the miracle will happen. Get up, pick up your mat, and begin to walk. And verse 9 says, my friends, that at once this man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. My friend, I want you to please notice in this story that Jesus did not touch this man, did he?
No.
Jesus did not point to him, did he? What did he do? He simply says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You know, many times we expect God to do for us that which we can do for ourselves. We expect him to show up by lightning, to put some drama into it for the miracle to take place. We expect him to stretch forth his hand and pick us up and lift us, or maybe pull us up from where we are on the ground. But the Bible says, Jesus simply says to the man, get up. And today I pray that there is someone in this house that will receive the power to act on the word of God.
Amen.
This man, the Bible says, did not wait for a touch. He simply got up. He packed his mat and he began to walk. And my friends, I believe that this man believed that Jesus could heal him. And I believe that there is someone here today that needs a miracle, just like this man by the pool. And I want to ask you today, just like Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? My friends, don't begin to think about the physics behind the miracle. Because faith does not look in the mirror. If you look at yourself, you might think you cannot do it. But I want you to know that if God says you can, then you can. Do you want to get well? Oh, there's going to be a stirring today. And I want you to know that I'm not about to say any fantastic prayer. But I'm saying that if you are willing to come forward, willing to believe God, there are some few meters from where you are sitting to the altar. And I'm saying if today you are ready to get up, ready to pack your past, ready to walk to the altar, that God can give you that miracle that you have been waiting for so long. And you know, the verse 9 ends by saying, and that day was the Sabbath. My friend, the Sabbath is a day of rest. But you know, many of us, we fail to find rest because we are so wearied by the week that when it comes to the hours of the Sabbath, we are still carrying our burdens to church. I want to tell you that today someone is about to find rest.
Amen.
Because Jesus is here today. Jesus is here. He's the doctor in the sick room.
Amen.
My friend, Jesus is here today. He's the lawyer in the courtroom.
Amen.
Jesus is here today. He's the life in the living room. He's the rest in the bedroom. He's the cleansing in the bathroom. Jesus is here today. He's the deliverance in the prison room. The victory in the labor room. Jesus is here today. He's our help in ages past. A shelter in the time of storm. He's our shade by day, our defense by night. Jesus is here today. He's our hope for years to come. He's our shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is here today. He's the only one that can meet us at the point of our need. The God that changeth not, Jesus is here today. is here to meet all needs, here to set the captives free. Jesus is here today. And today, as we bring this service to a close, I want to ask for all those that are in the house today and needs a miracle. And perhaps you've been by the pool all this while, waiting for the moving and the stirring of the water. Perhaps you've been longing for so long and you need a miracle, but you've been looking at the wrong people, looking in the wrong direction, waiting for the wrong time. But I want you to know that today is different from last week. Today is different from yesterday, because today not only are you again at the pool, but Jesus is here at the pool. So if you want to get well, if you want that situation to become history, I want us to sing this song together. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. You know, the Bible never mentioned to us what was the cause of this man's problem. The Bible never tells us, never told us, you know, why he was in this situation. But the Bible says that on this day at the pool, he met with the Savior, and his story was changed forever. If you're here and you need God to touch you, you need God to touch your finances, or perhaps you need God to touch a situation in your life, or there is something you are believing Him for, and we have prayed in the past, you've come forward for altar calls in the past, but today is different, my friend. You might have left home thinking you are going for another service, just like you came last week, or just like you were here 2 weeks ago. But I want you to know that something is different about today. I want you to come and I want you to touch the altar. Touch the altar, my friend, because Jesus is here today. He's here to meet all needs. Here to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we hold today touching the altar in agreement, believing with all our hearts that there is power as we agree together, believing that you are God and you have not changed, believing that the power we have read in times of old are still available in this day and age. Also, God, we call on you today that you will show yourself forth in your power and in your glory. Father, we are here and our needs differ. But we all need you. So come back here, Lord, today and do us good. Meet each one at the points of their needs. Father, bring deliverance. Send the miracle. Bring every yoke. Lift every burden. Oh, Father, Lord, today I pray that you will show your children that you are still powerful in the life of the church. Lord, is there anyone who have waited by their pool for so long? Lord, today I pray that they will know that today is different from last week. They will know that today they have had an encounter. Thank you, Father, for what you will do. Thank you for what you have begun to do. Thank you because nothing shall shake our faith in you. For we know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you because this is our morning time. So we receive from your hand that which you have promised. I will say, blessed be the name of our God. For we ask today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.